Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We are in the conclusion of this study here. And we're going to begin with a pretty profound statement here. The Christ of Exodus is the deliverer, supplier, and our Passover. Now, we want you to remember that for your tests, and that you're going to need to remember Christ. The Christ of Exodus is the deliverer, supplier, and our Passover.
We say that in every book. You'll see, if you look for Him, you'll find the Christ. You'll find Jesus, the Messiah, in type. Mm-hmm. Or shout it. You will find Him in all the books of the Bible. I don't know if you've ever heard Oral Roberts' Fourth Man, but he goes through all the Jerry Savelle also does the same thing. But going through this, I want you to see Jesus. In the Pentateuch, I want you to see Jesus.
Yeah.
With Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, all of them. I want you to see Jesus. Okay? And so that's why we put the emphasis on this, and it is a test question, right?
It is a test question. Okay. But really, if you'll take some time and just ponder on this, what the Lord has done for you, what Jesus has done for you, how He's delivered you, because each one of us has this testimony if we've been born again, how He's delivered us, how He supplies us with all that we can't obtain on our own. Our righteousness is because of Him. And how He's our Passover. You go back and you reflect on, I think it might be the 12th chapter, is that right? In Exodus with the Passover. How that death angel, when that blood was applied to the doorpost, the lintel, the death angel passed over. When we unite with Jesus, that union gives us eternal life with God. He is our Passover. And I'm thankful for the revelation that the Lord gave me as far as Passover is concerned. You know, we celebrate Passover with communion now. Every time I partake of communion, that's how I celebrate Passover. And so all these things that the Lord has done for us, just like we were talking last session about how the Israelites became accustomed to the supernatural, may we never just become accustomed to what the Lord has done for us, but keep it before us. And you know what that does is that keeps us humble before Him. And it gives us that reverential awe of who He is. There is none like Him. None. The one and true living God. The only one that's been... He was the first one born from the dead. His redemptive work enables us, gives us the opportunity to be born again. It's really miraculous when you think about it.
Yeah, if you think about it, the seven festivals, King James calls them feasts, they're festivals, okay, are reminders.
Yeah.
They're pointing to the Lord. And out of those seven, three, all the males were required to go to Jerusalem for this Passover later on, okay, where God put His name. They were required to keep this. And so those three feasts, you know, with the Passover and with the Pentecost and the Tabernacles were the three required. Those things deal directly with Jesus. They're experiences mm-hmm. that we have with mm-hmm. Jesus. And these are required experiences, the best I can tell from the Scriptures, okay? But even at that... You look at how Israel, after they got settled into the Promised Land, Joshua's gone. They start doing their own thing. They just stop celebrating Passover. They lose sight of their deliverer. You understand? And I think about how that relates to us today, to where we have not kept God before our children's eyes. See, this was to be taught from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. You celebrate this Passover. The first month is the beginning of the year for you. This is the beginning of a new life for you. We call it the new birth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet how you look at the kids today, I say kids, and I'm talking about grown, but especially the newest generation, they don't know anything about the Passover. We've stopped putting these reminders before them. So they don't know they have a deliverer, so they try to deliver themselves, or looking for the world to deliver them, looking for the government to deliver them, whatever. Not following the Spirit of God, but looking at actual things for the salvation, which is a delusion that can't happen. You understand? So it's extremely important to understand Jesus is our Passover. Communion is not just a... It shouldn't be a church ordinance. It should be a believer's conviction. You understand? We just don't do this because this is... Well, this is the fifth Sunday of the month, or this is the first Sunday of the month. We do this. No. He said as often as you do it. He didn't say how often. As often as you do this, you remember me. You remember who your Passover is. This is about our Passover is a person. And we need to remember that. Okay.
Okay.
Our Sabbath is a person. It's rest. Sabbath is rest. Our rest is in Jesus. We're not under the law. We're not working now.
Mm-hmm.
We're believing in a finished work. What Jesus Christ has done. You follow me? And so if you just look at these things, I mean, Jesus is right there in front of you in the book of Exodus. If you just realize that in type. But I want you to look at this. Mm-hmm. And I've asked Heather, she would, to read the scripture because according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, Jesus was the rock from which the water came forth in the wilderness. Jesus was the rock. I mean, it says it, just read it so they won't think I'm making this up.
I'm going to read the first four verses in chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye would be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and you know that, don't you, what sea? And were all baptized unto Moses in a cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
So, remember what Jesus told the woman at the well in the fourth chapter of John? If you knew who you was talking to, you would ask me for water.
That's right.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all kinds of things in here that's pointing to Jesus. This the water out of the rock. Jesus is our rock. Jesus is our foundation. What quenches our spiritual thirst will have to be Jesus. It'll come out of Jesus. Our thirst is quenched out of Jesus, our spiritual thirst. You follow me? Then also we look at another scripture reference here in John 6:35. Jesus declares himself to be the bread of God who comes down from heaven and gives life. Now, if you look at the scripture, you want to read that?
Mm-hmm. So they had asked Jesus, what do we do that we might work the works of God? And then he said, you believe on him who he sent. And then in verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou them, that we may see and believe thee, and what dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.
So here, he's confronting religion. But what does he do? He refers back to, they're referring to the law. Jesus refers to it too. Moses gave us bread. Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven. But the Father has given you a true bread from heaven. They're referring to manna. I'm the bread. In Deuteronomy, it says, man shall not live by bread alone. Now, that's quoted in Matthew 5:8-4:4, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so, Jesus is the Word of God, right? That Word of God is the bread. It's the Word that feeds us. You follow me? Here again, that manna, they're eating that for the natural man. But we eat the Word of God for the spiritual man. And if you're going to live eternally, you're going to live eternally not by something natural, but by something spiritual. That's why Jesus is identified as that bread. That manna was a type of what was going to sustain man eternally. Jesus, the bread of life. You follow that?
Yeah.
And so, it's obvious that he's in the book of Exodus.
Yeah.
And you think of the blood of the slain lamb that was applied to the doorpost, which is symbolic of Jesus, who is the lamb that takes away the sin of the world, according to John 2:29, I think it is.
129,
I'm sorry, thank you. That he takes away the sin of the world, and it's his blood that must be applied to the door of our heart. You understand? The legal entry to a man is his heart.
Yeah.
But what does the world try to do? What's Satan trying to do? He's trying to make an illegal entry by appealing to your flesh. That's an illegal entry. Ministry that is making its appeal to your flesh is dealing with you illegally. No, the appeals to the heart. It's the Spirit of God dealing with the spirit of man. You with me? And so that heart has to be changed. That heart has to have a nature change. And when Jesus comes into our heart, then the blood of Jesus remits the sin. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Then death has no place for us. That's your assurance of eternal life. The blood on the doorpost. The death angel passing over is to where you're not subject to the second death now.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? All this is in Jesus. All this is revealed in this book of Exodus. You follow me?
Yeah.
So Christ is threaded throughout the book of Exodus.
Amen.
But you'll see flesh also complaining about God's lead. Complaining about the Spirit, complaining about Christ. Why is that? They never learned the ways of God. They lived from one work to another work to another work.
Mm-hmm.
They knew the miraculous works of God, but they never learned the ways of God. Moses knew the ways of God.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
We need to learn the ways of God. People were looking for spectacular things. Show me a miracle. Give me a prophecy. Do this, do this. Learn God's ways. Those type things are for immature people. Mature people are to be led by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. You don't need some miraculous thing to make you believe in God. You believe in God because God's Word says He's who He is.
Yeah.
And so you take Him literally. What did He tell Thomas? Blessed are those who believe without seeing. You understand?
Yeah.
And so did you see Christ in the Exodus? I see Jesus in the Exodus. Believe in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, unless you have something, that's sort of the book of Exodus, an overview.
Right. All right.